Once again, a happy new year to all, and every eye up front for our lesson for this morning. My message this morning is going to be from 1 Kings chapter 16 and chapter 17. It's during the time of King Ahab. And King Ahab, he was the seventh of the kings since the split of the kingdom. 10 tribes, as you know, went to the north, known as the kingdom of Israel. And 2 tribes to the south, the kingdom of Judah. But those 7 kings that were in the north, not one of them followed the Lord. In fact, the Bible says over and over again, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Then came along King Ahab. And the Word of God says about King Ahab, that he did more evil than all the other kings before him. And he grieved the heart of the Lord. Yes, he did that which was evil in the sight of God. And then among the things that he did, he also was unequally yoked. Now he was not a believer, but as an Israelite or a Jew, he was not to marry a Gentile. I want to say to you, my friends, God's word back then spoke to the Israelites too, who were unequally yoked. And he was unequally yoked because he married the daughter of the king of the Zidonians. Why, what he thought he could do, if he was married to this woman, what it would give him is power over the sea. For, you see, the Zidonians, they had control of the sea. And he thought if he had this economical and political marriage, why, he would be able to conquer the Syrians that had caused them trouble. And so he married this woman, and her name was Jezebel. Oh, a wicked, evil woman she was. In fact, what she introduced was the worship of Baal, to worship an idol, a god that had ears that couldn't hear and mouth that couldn't speak. You see, this god was made out of stone. Yes, and she brought it right into the capital. And there in Samaria, which was the capital at that time of Israel, we find that what happened is that he put up an altar and worshipped Baal. Now I want to go back to that, fellows and girls, particularly for you who are single and are looking for a mate. Be sure that God's word makes it very clear. Be not unequally yoked. Yes? Be not unequally yoked. That means if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, then what you need to find is someone also who knows Christ as Savior. And not only should you be equally yoked, but we also should be evenly yoked, both growing in the Lord. Well, it was during that time that God raised up a prophet, a man by the name of Elijah. The name means Jehovah is my God, or God is Jehovah. He was a man that we don't know much about his background, but we do know that he was a man that came from the mountains. That's where he lived. He lived in the mountains and spent time alone with God because he was in Gilead. And there we find also that he was a Tishbite. And the word Tishbite means that he was a stranger. And he recognized that he was just passing through the land. Do you know something? We're strangers and pilgrims too. This world is not my home. I trust that you're not laying up treasures down here on this earth because the Word of God makes it very clear. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust and moth doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt. And where thieves do not break through and steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, this man, he not only lived in the mountains, but he spent time alone with God, and he was a man of prayer. In fact, over in the New Testament in James chapter 5, it says about him that he was a righteous man, and the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And he was a man not only of prayer that spent time alone with God, but he was a man that knew God's word. Why, in Leviticus chapter 23, he understood very clearly how that God had said, yes, if you will follow my commands, speaking to the Israelites, I will bless you. I will cause the rain to come in the seasons, and I will cause also dew in the dry seasons to come, so that you will be able to have your crops. But if you do not obey my word, what I will do is I will shut up the windows of heaven so that they will become like iron, and you will have big problems of famine. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, also we read in chapter 28 that the Lord said this about the kingdom of Israel: if you will follow my commandments, I will bless you. Yes, I will bless you abundantly above all the other nations. But if you do not obey my voice, what I will do is I will curse you, and the curses will come upon you, and you will have great difficulty in the land. And so we find that this man, Elijah, he knew God's word. And he also knew that what had happened, that the rainy season was over with, and the season for when the dew should come, according to the Gospel of Luke, there we find that for 6 months there was no dew in the morning or in the evening. They had no dew, and 6 months had gone by. Yes, and there was it was dry in the land. And Elijah very courageously and boldly, what he did is he walked up the steps of the king's palace, right past the king's guards, right up into the throne room, and he announced, as the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be rain nor dew these years, but according to my word. And he was gone. And as far as they were concerned, good riddance to you. Yes, they didn't want to hear from him. But Elijah made it clear, but according to my words, there shall not be rain nor dew these years until the rain comes. It will not be, yes, until, because the Lord has shut the windows of heaven. Now when Elijah left there, the word of the Lord came to him, and the word of the Lord said to Elijah, to arise and go east. Yes, he was to go east to Cherith, to a brook that was just before the Jordan River. Now, as I mentioned last night at the New Year's Eve service that we had, civilization has always moved towards the west. But God says, go towards the east. And what we're looking for, friends, is for the one that's coming in the east. We read that verse in Malachi where it says in chapter 4 and verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness appear with healing in his wings. Yes, the Son, S-U-N, speaking of the S-O-N, is going to come from the east to the very place where he left. And so we're looking to the east. And Elijah, what he was doing is coming out of the darkness into the light. And so it should be with us. We should come out of the darkness and go into the light, because it's in the east that the sun rises, and we're looking for him to come. Oh, that we as children of God might walk in the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now the Lord told him to go there, and I want to say this, that again, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. I think of that verse in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 where it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Then there's that verse also in Psalms 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. And in Psalms 37 earlier, as I said, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I think of Psalms 119, where it says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Yes, God was directing his steps, and had told him to go east to the brook called Cherith. Now that word Cherith means cutting, and it's just before the Jordan River. A very interesting word is Jordan, because it speaks to us of death. And I think of that verse also in Corinthians, where it says that the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Might it be that we as believers might know what it is to be dead with Christ? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So he went there, and then the Lord said, for I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. I like that word there in these chapters. No place else, but there. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, if you know anything about ravens, ravens are an unclean bird. In fact, in the book of Job, chapter 38 and verse 41, you're going to find out that the ravens, they neglect to feed their young. They don't feed their young like other birds or other animals. No, they neglect them. But that verse tells us that the Lord God feeds them. And here in this case, God is going to use ravens to feed him. But he had to be at the place where God wanted him to be. And so it came to pass that these ravens came. Yes, the ravens came, and we find that these ravens, when they came, sure enough, what they did is they brought bread and they brought meat to Elijah. You can hardly believe it. All he had to do was just reach out his hand, take it from their mouth that they brought. Yes, they brought this food once in the morning, once in the evening. And this is the exciting thing. They didn't bring enough for more than one meal. Oh, no. They only brought enough for one meal. Do you know what that taught Elijah? He had to be dependent upon God. Oh, that we might realize that we also need to depend on him. But every morning, every evening, those ravens came, and all he had to do was just take it out of their mouth and put it into his. Why, who would ever suspect that he was there? You see, God hid him, and the ravens came and fed him. Now there's a verse over in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 20 where it says this, and though the Lord give thee the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. God had removed their teacher. They didn't want to hear the word of God, so God removed him. I want to say to you, my friends, today, we still have teachers of God's word. We want to give thanks for that. Even though we might have tough times, yet God has not seen fit to remove the teachers. But we read that verse in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11 and 12 where it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine for the lack of bread, nor of a thirst for water, but of a famine to hear the word of God. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north to the east, and they shall run to and fro throughout the whole earth to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. That day is coming, my friends. The day is going to come that people will want to hear the word of God, but they're not going to be able to hear the word of God because God is going to remove the teachers and the word from them. Yes, that will be a very difficult time. Yes, when that day comes. But here was Elijah, fed day and night. Yes, twice a day. And we find that what he had to do, all he had to do was to just stoop down, cup his hands in the water, and take a drink. He was by the brook Cherith. He had the natural, and he had the supernatural. But the days passed by into weeks, and the weeks passed by into months. And as the time went by, the brook began to dry up. Oh, there was just a trickle of water. And then there was just puddles. And Elijah might have been wondering why the brook was drying up. What was he going to do? Because the brook was drying up. Listen, fellows and girls and men and women, this important lesson. The natural disappeared, but not the supernatural. If you can get that lesson, the natural could run dry, but not the supernatural. And you know, that's a great lesson for us to learn, that God will always meet our needs. Yes. What was he going to do? The brook was drying up. Why? Well, what did he pray for? What did Elijah pray for? He prayed that God would shut the heavens. What did he expect? Now, what have you prayed for? Have you prayed, God, use me? God, make me more like you? And then difficulties come in your life? Oh, listen, God was still there. And that brook began to dry up. But you see, what was Elijah to do? Well, he had a command from the Lord. It was there that the ravens were going to come. And it was there he was to stay until he got another word from the Lord. And so he stayed there by the brook. Yes, he stayed by the brook. And as the brook dried up, Elijah, yes, as he was there, he was wondering maybe what he should do when the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath because there in Zarephath I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Now Zarephath, that was belonging to Zidon. It was in the territory of King Ahab because he now had owned that part. Oh, it should have been to the Israelites, but they failed to drive out the enemy. And so we find that now he was the king. Yes. And he owned that land. And by this time now, because there was a famine in the land, why, there King Ahab had announced, well, just don't stand there, do something about it. Look for the man. Find him. Search him out. But they couldn't find, Elijah because God had hid him. And now he was making a 100-mile trip all across the desert, and he was going to this city. God did not tell him the name of the woman, didn't say what the woman looked like. All God said is that I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you there. How was he going to know her? Well, he came to the gate of the city, and there was a woman gathering some sticks. Was this the woman? Why? He really didn't know, but I want to tell you this. God always works at both ends. And as he approached the woman, he did the same thing that Abraham's servant did. And Abraham's servant went up to a woman and said, "Give me a drink of water, would you please?" And so that's what Elijah did. He asked this woman that he saw at the gate if she would please give him a drink of water. And so the woman, who was a Gentile, she turned around and she went to get the drink of water. And as she was going to get the drink of water, Elijah said to her, "And would you please also bring me a cake of bread when you come back with the water?" And she looked at him and she said, "As the Lord your God liveth." Not as the Lord my God liveth. As the Lord your God liveth. She didn't know that God. No, but she knew who he was. And she said, "As the Lord your God liveth, all I have is just a handful of meal in the barrel and just a little oil in the cruse. And what I'm doing right now is gathering two sticks so I can make a fire and make a loaf of bread for my son and I. We're going to eat and die because that's all we got." And then Elijah turned to her and said, "You go and you make that bread, and you bring it to me. Make a cake of bread for me first, and bring it with the water. And then you can go back, and you will find that the barrel will not go empty, neither will the cruse of oil fail until God sends the rain." Was she going to have that kind of faith? Was she going to do that? Well, this woman, that's what she decided to do. Yes, she was going to put her faith right there in the words of Elijah. And so she went and she got a drink of water for him. But not only did she get a drink of water, she made the cake of bread for him. And you know, in order to make the bread, she had to have not only the flour, she had to have the oil. And so what she did is she poured the oil into the flour that she had. And she used it all. Yes, she used all that she had. And then she gave it to Elijah. And do you know, after Elijah ate and drank, why the woman, she went back, and you know what? There was more flour in the barrel, and there was more oil, yes, in the cruse. And she made another loaf of bread. And there it was. She and her son ate that day. Well, you know, it was an exciting, wonderful day. Why, there it was, the flour, or the meal, as they called it, was there in the barrel, and the oil was right there in the cruse. Oh, listen, that flour, do you know what it speaks of? Why, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And the oil throughout the Word of God speaks of the Spirit of God. And you know something? You need both of them together. And so the next day, well, she went and she got more flour out of the barrel, but there was more oil in the pot. There it was. And she was able not only to make a loaf of bread for herself and for her daughter, or her son rather, and for Elijah. Why, day after day, she was able to do that. Do you know that what she did was only give him a cup of water? Why, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41,
It says that whosoever shall give a cup of water in my name, why, he will give you a reward. Oh, listen, it was just a simple cup of water. But she did it believing. And lo and behold, she went back every day. There was more meal in the barrel and more oil in the clothes. And there was that oil, and she could make another loaf of bread every day. She did that. Do you know that one cup of water gave her a great reward? That one cup of water gave her a reward so she could eat for 2 more years. Yes. Because the rain didn't come. No, for 3 years and 6 months, that rain didn't come. All she was going to do was get 2 sticks and then cook that last flour and put the oil in and make a loaf and die. Oh, but God had greater things for her, because you see, those 2 sticks, well, the Bible doesn't say that, but you know what you can do with 2 sticks? You can make them into a cross. And oh, listen, if we stop to think about the cross, of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, if we put our faith in Him, He'll give us great things. And so sure enough, every day, week after week, month after month, she would go to the barrel, get a handful of meal, then get the cruise, and there would always be a little more oil, and there was always enough there in the cruise that she could pour it out and make another loaf of bread. Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. Our God is great. And what we need to do is trust Him. Oh, listen, God hasn't promised that we're not going to have trials. God hasn't promised that we are not going to have troubles. In fact, if you read the rest of this story, and I don't have time to tell you, you're going to find out she had big problems. Oh, yes, because her son got sick and died. But that's a story again, another story. And it's so exciting how that when that boy died, when she put her trust in God, how that God raised that boy right from the dead. What about you, my friends? Oh, listen, God says, yes, the troubles and the trials will come, but He has promised to meet your every need. Yes, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And as I said, His pot never, never runs dry. There's always something there for us. There's always something more. I'm so thankful that there's always more when we put our trust in Him. But what it says, we have to keep His commandments. And as we keep His commandments and do as He has asked us to do, He will meet our needs. Every eye closed and head bowed.